This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Tuesday, February 10th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, painting a room can leave you feeling a little foggy. Well, that can do for the same for the atmosphere. But the Environment Report's Julie Grant will have a report taking a look at regulations on paint chemicals. We'll also check your forecast for Champaign-Urbana, which could tie a record high for temperature today. First, a look at today's news. Champaign School District administrators are recommending some preemptive budget cuts to prepare for much tougher economic times ahead. The Assistant Superintendent for Financial Services, Gene Logus, says in 2010, Unit 4 will see the economy's current effects on inflation and real estate hit home, with a projected slowdown in property tax revenue. He says that will require about $950,000 in cuts for the next budget in 2009, even before the brunt of that slowdown arrives.
So we're really looking out 2 years in terms of when the biggest hits will involve us, and we're simply trying to be proactive right now and plan for them by making some cuts, some postponement in expenditures next year so that the following year things won't be quite as dramatic.
Still, Logus says the 2010 budget may require cuts of around $3 million. About half of them in the next budget would come from personnel, though Logus thinks attrition will take care of those cuts. He believes Unit 4 is actually in better shape than most other school districts because it's amassed budget surpluses over the last two budget years and will have a nearly $20 million reserve by the end of June. But Logus also warned board members last night against spending down the reserve too far. Required changes in academic structure at Champaign Central High School will cost Unit 4 more than $400,000. Failure to meet the increasingly tough standards set by the federal No Child Left Behind Act means that the district will have to restructure Central to boost student learning. School Board President Dave Tomlinson says the cost of professional development, curriculum changes, and other programs is mandatory.
No matter what we want to do, NCLB law is requiring us to restructure Central. So this is another government unfunded mandate that we have to do no matter what we want to do. So in terms of the cost, we've got to spend the money no matter what. We want to spend the money wisely, and I think our staff is doing their best to do that.
Administrators say they got help from University of Illinois educators in building a restructuring plan. Central's principal, Joe Williams, says it's weighed heavily toward making sure freshmen make a successful transition from middle school. It'll go into effect in the fall. Central would then have 2 years to make so-called adequate yearly progress or face more changes. President Obama is expected to take his economic stimulus tour to Peoria later this week. The White House says the president plans to visit the Caterpillar plant there on Thursday. Billy Halstead is the chairman of the Peoria County Democrats. He says Mr. Obama's visit will be a big boost for the local party.
We should now use this as an educational tool to let Democrats and future leaders know that when you work hard and you get someone elected, they don't forget about you. You know, he's back in Peoria already.
The president plans to use the Peoria visit to argue how the economic stimulus bill would help hard-hit American cities. Peoria-based Caterpillar has announced more than 20,000 job cuts in recent weeks. Obama held a town hall meeting on Monday in Elkhart, Indiana. The unemployment rate there has climbed above 15%. New Governor Pat Quinn is putting together his team of top advisors, and early indications are that he's relying on people he knows who aren't typical political insiders. Yesterday, Quinn named former Voices for Illinois Children President Jerry Sturmer as chief of staff. He also picked Ted Chung as his general counsel. Chung has been general counsel for the Illinois Reform Commission that Quinn put together to clean up state government in the wake of the Rod Blagojevich scandal. Quinn has a lot to tackle, including how to fix what could be a $9 billion budget deficit, but so far he's not divulging what he plans to do, and he won't rule out an income tax increase. He'll get advice from Sturmer, whose old advocacy group publicly blasts the state's method for funding education. Several members of the General Assembly say they'll again try to pass legislation allowing Illinois residents to carry concealed weapons. The lawmakers say the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling last summer overturning a handgun ban in Washington, D.C., and an endorsement of concealed carry by the Illinois Sheriff's Association gives a boost to their efforts. Republican State Representative Bill Mitchell says he wants concealed weapons legislation to finally get a hearing in the House. Supporters of such legislation say the bill would allow citizens to get permits to carry concealed firearms, but only after gun owners complete an extensive application process, including training courses in handgun use, safety, and marksmanship. Democratic House member Frank Martino of Spring Valley said Monday he's doubtful legislation will go very far in the legislature. A Central Illinois senator wants the panel responsible for setting up new health care facilities held to greater scrutiny. Bloomington Senator Bill Brady says the past failure of the Senate to examine nominees to the Health Facilities Planning Board allowed former Governor Rod Blagojevich to appoint people who took advantage of the system. Brady says instead he wants appointees to be made by the governor's new Commission on Ethics, and he says their decisions need to have the health care of all Illinoisans in mind.
We clearly agreed that the prudent appointments would provide diversity. This board makes decisions on health care facilities in major metropolitan areas and rural areas and in between. And it's very important that the members of the board understand how health care is delivered and how it's different depending on the population and the density of the area.
Brady wants to expand the size of the board's membership from 5 to 9, saying that will help remove the concentration of power from one or two, quote, bad apples. Lawmakers removed every member of the HFPB 4 years ago, regardless of ties to convicted political fundraiser Tony Rezko, but the Blagojevich administration allowed its executive leadership to remain in place. The senator says he's not suggesting that any current members of the board have ties to any wrongdoing, but he says there's still too much status quo to say lawmakers have finished their job. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. When it's time for a new coat of paint, you might want a paint that doesn't smell so bad that it leaves your head spinning. More states are shaking up paint laws and forcing companies to roll out paints that aren't as bad for the environment. But some people question if they will work as well as the old stuff. Julie Grant has this report.
Matt Testa started painting for his family's real estate business when he was a kid. He remembers his parents worrying that all the chemicals in the paint would ignite a fire, so they turned off appliance pilot lights before painting a kitchen. Today, as a builder and general contractor, Testa says most paints are still high in VOCs, volatile organic compounds, even though a lot of people don't like it.
Well, when we've used some high VOC products, of course, there's occasional dizziness on large commercial jobs. We've had to clear buildings at times and other things because of people reporting headaches and other things with the fumes that were being given off.
Testa says you can almost taste those chemicals in your nose and mouth hours after painting. But the VOCs don't just affect painters. When you open a can of paint or primer or wood stain, the chemicals get into the air and cause ozone pollution, which contributes to smog.
When you do the math, they're talking about a quarter pound per gallon, and you think of the millions and millions of gallons of paint that are used, we're talking about a huge amount of VOCs.
In recent years, states on the East and West Coast have started cracking down on paint makers. Smoggy Southern California has the toughest laws against VOCs in paints. The Northeast has also forced manufacturers to reduce their chemical load. And now, tougher paint laws are spreading to states in the middle of the country. Ohio, for instance, has had a tough time meeting federal clean air standards. It's hoping that stirring up the paint laws will make a difference. And that'll mean changes at the store. When you buy paints, primers, stains, they'll be based less on oil and more on water. Steve Revenue is marketing director for Sherwin-Williams, and it's 3,300 stores nationwide. Walking around one of his Ohio stores, he says they have to roll out a new line of products.
For example, some of the oil-based stains, wiping stains that you traditionally would use on your woodwork and those types of things, as they're known today, that technology will no longer be available.
Companies such as Sherwin-Williams have seen the chemical limits coming for many years. Revenue says they've developed new stains, paints, and enamels with fewer harsh chemicals using new resin and polymer technology. He picks up a can of enamel.
In 2009, we'll be introducing a whole new product line that is VOC compliant. It'll still provide you with the hard, durable finish for metal, wood, concrete, those types of things, only it will be VOC compliant.
But the changes have some professional painters in the store concerned. They're worried that water-based paints and stains won't coat as well or last as long as the oil-based coatings. Now that contractor Matt Testa has kids of his own, he's glad VOCs are being brushed aside. But if reducing the chemicals means things need to be repainted more often, he says the changes won't do anything to improve air quality.
Yeah, if you have to go back and repaint it, you know, you're really going to leave a bigger footprint environmentally from the truck trips, the amount of paint that you put back up, all the delivery of that paint, etc.
Testa says consumers will have to see for themselves if these new environmentally friendly products work as well as the higher VOC paints. For the Environment Report, I'm Julie Grant.
Support for the Environment Report comes from the Park Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and the Gaylord and Dorothy Donnelly Foundation. You can find more information and share your thoughts at environmentreport.org.
In the forecast today, partly sunny skies. We have a high around 65 degrees, could tie the high of 68, breezy with gusts up to 30 miles an hour. A chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight, then showers after midnight, the lows in the upper 40s, breezy with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Showers and thunderstorms tomorrow morning, then showers likely in the afternoon, cooler with highs around 55 degrees, windy with south winds up to 30 miles an hour. Windy and colder Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy, the low around 30, mostly sunny Thursday, the high around 45, partly cloudy Thursday evening, the low around 28, partly sunny Friday, the high around 45. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Tuesday, February 10th, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.